The St. Charles County Veterans Museum is a 501c3 nonprofit business. The museum would not exist without the donations of our generous community. Your donations ensure the museum continues to share and preserve the stories of our veterans. Would you like to be part of something special? To donate, visit sccvetsmuseum.org and click on Donate. This podcast is sponsored by the Renee S. Real Estate Agency, located here in O'Fallon, Missouri. She is licensed in Missouri and Illinois and focuses on your personal and commercial insurance needs. Her office is located at 2764 Highway K, O'Fallon, Missouri, 63368. She can be reached at 636-379-9556 or by email at reneesry@allstate.com, reneesssary@allstate.com. If you are shopping for insurance and want an active agent that will educate and advise you on the coverage you need, reach out to her. The information, opinions, and recommendations presented in this podcast are for general information only. The primary purpose of the Dog Tag Podcast is to educate. The views, information, or opinions expressed on the Dog Tag Podcast are solely the views of the individuals or guests involved and by no means represent absolute facts. The Dog Tag does not accept responsibility for their views or comments. Welcome to the Dog Tag Podcast at the St. Charles County Veterans Museum. Today we're welcoming in studio Jim David from the Veterans Assistance Office in St. Charles County. The office is located in O'Fallon City Hall and is staffed by volunteers. Thank you so much, Jim, for coming to the studio today to record with us. And Jim and Jason Galvin are here for your hosts. So Jim, I'm going to go ahead and pass this off to you so you can start us off.
Well, welcome, Jim, to the podcast. Just a little bit of background on you. If you'd give us a little bit of background and how you got involved with the Veterans Affairs Office here in St. Charles County.
I can do that. First of all, I have a total of a little over 36 years in the Air Force. I tried them all, the active duty Air Force, the Air Force Reserve, and also the Air National Guard. Spent most of my time with the Air National Guard out at Lambert Field as a full-time employee, which basically was the same as being on active duty. You just got your check from a different source. So it was strange. But anyway, so I retired in 95 after 36 years, I said. And one of the first things I found out was the Air Force wasn't really providing me with the information I wanted as a retiree. So in 96, I approached the 131st Fighter Wing out at Lambert Field, and after having done some research, suggested that we open up a retiree assistance office under the auspices of the 131st Fighter Wing out at Lambert. This was the first retiree assistance office in the Air Force that was located on a Air National Guard installation as opposed to a regular Air Force installation. And so I ran that office for about 3 or 4 years, and then some part-time work that I was doing got in my way, and I turned it over to another gentleman out there, and I got away from it for a while. And then I came out here to O'Fallon, moved out here to O'Fallon in 2000, was approached by a friend of mine from the Air National Guard, Joe Meister, to work with the Veterans Commission out here. And I started working with the Veterans Commission, and they found out that I had been doing the retiree activity office. And so they asked if we could expand that to cover all veterans. And I said, sure, that's no problem. So the head chad over there in the city hall put their heads together, and they gave me a little office to work out of. And it was a little office. When I opened the door to go in the office, I had to close the door so I could get around the desk and sit in the chair behind the desk. And then I left the door open for people who could come in. So it was a little office, but that's how it started, and it just expanded and kept expanding. We moved across the hall to a bigger office. I recruited some people to help me. We now have 10 volunteers that come in the office. They work four-hour shifts, 9 to 1 and 12 to 4. And what we do is we will answer any question that a veteran has for us. If we don't know the answer, and a lot of times we don't, we have at our disposal a computer that the city provides, and we go online and we find the answer. If they have a question, we'll find the answer, wherever it is. Have a couple of people in the office who have, on their own, gotten to the point where they can help veterans file claims with VA, pension claims, illness claims, that kind of thing. We work with several of the veterans organizations up in the office to provide help whatever way we can. In some cases, we will provide financial help, but we don't give the veteran money. We will help him if he needs something done. We bought the American Legion bought a refrigerator for a gentleman out in Wentzville whose refrigerator had quit on him. He was out of work. He had been laid off. His wife couldn't find any work. They were keeping their perishable foods in a styrofoam cooler in the kitchen, and so we went out and bought him a refrigerator. We've put some veterans up in motels who are passing through the area and had a problem, and we'll put them up in a motel for a day or two, whatever it takes for whatever their problem is here locally. And as I said, we do not give the money to the veteran. We pay the bill. Otherwise, there's a lot of people out there who call themselves veterans and just try and get money. And interesting enough, almost all the veteran service organizations have a little grapevine to where we let each other know when, hey, there's a guy in the area says he's got to go to his dad's funeral and his car's broke down and he wants you to pay, you know, give him some money so he can get his car fixed. And we don't give money. We look at him and say, you need car fixed, we'll tell you where to take it, and they'll fix it for you. You need fuel for your car so you can go on your way? No problem. I'll meet you at the gas station. I got the credit card. So that's basically what we do, is we try and work with a veteran, take care of his needs. And we coordinate, anything that the veteran needs. Do you have any questions for me?
Well, that's a very broad stroke. And it covers a whole lot of things. And what I've kind of heard you say a little bit of, that you'll help anybody passing through. They don't necessarily have to live here.
That's correct.
And your customer is the veteran.
Our customer is the veteran. We don't care what branch of the service he served in or how long he served or where he lives. If he's got a problem and he comes to us, we'll check him out. First of all, to make sure that he's really a veteran, and then we'll find out what his problem is and try and take care of it for him. So,
well, Jim, thank you for sharing that. Like Jim said, that was a broad stroke. Can you tell us a little bit about the volunteers themselves? You mentioned that you have volunteers and their schedule. Give us a little bit of feedback that you can on the volunteers.
Sure, I have 10 volunteers, as I said. Let's see. Mondays are both Air Force retirees that work Monday. Tuesday, I have an Air Force retiree in the afternoon, and I have an Army veteran in the morning, female. She did not retire, but she spent quite a few years in the Army. On Wednesday, I have an Air Force veteran in the morning, retiree. In the afternoon, I have a retired Army warrant officer who comes in. Thursday, I have a Navy commander who comes in and works. And in the afternoon, I have a young lady by the name of Stevie Riley, who I think volunteers here also. She's a retired Air Force personnel. And then on Friday, I have a retired Army female that works in the morning. And on Friday afternoons, I've got a Marine who's going to start this week.
So if you wanted, if somebody wanted to volunteer, if they said, hey, that's something that's interesting to me, how would they come to you and approach you and say, hey, I want to volunteer, and how would you accept them?
Well, they would come to the city of O'Fallon and volunteer services and say they wanted to volunteer with the Veterans Office, and then I would get in touch with them and talk to them, find out a little bit about their background, see if I can figure out whether or not it's really a good match for us. And I have to admit, we have had a couple that weren't very good matches. I had one that I actually told not to come back anymore because his PTSD problems were too much. Told him to go to the VA and get some help. He needed it seriously, and he did, thank goodness. So, but he was not a good match for our office. And so that's what will take place.
Do you guys have a current need for new volunteers, or?
We can always use volunteers. Right now, our location in City Hall is in the Rotunda, which is a really bad location. You know, for the last, 3 years, City Hall's been undergoing a major remodeling where they move one office to here and another office to there. And not being an actual city function, just volunteers, we ended up in the east lobby by the old police department for a while, out in the lobby. And now we're in the rotunda on the other side of the building. And essentially we're a de facto information service for the city. When you come into City Hall, they say, where do I find out where to get a permit for building a garage? And, you know, where do I pay my tax bill? So right now we're getting a lot of that. But right now we also don't have that much room. But we could, where we're supposed to move, hopefully by the end of June, we should be able to have two people in there comfortably, work comfortably, two people, and still have room for our veteran to come in and sit down and talk with us.
So, Jim, you get a wide range, it sounds like. It's, you know, and one of the things here at the museum that we encounter is people kind of reach out looking for this hub of resources, you might say, and it sounds like you've got that, a number of resources available. You get all kinds of requests for assistance. You probably have disabled people that need physical help. You know, give us an idea what kind of requests come through your office.
We have guys who are looking to get glasses. They want to get hearing aids. Those guys we send down to the VA. We have some guys who call and just want to talk. And by talking to them, we can figure out that they really have maybe a PTSD problem, so we send them someplace to get that checked out. They're looking for assistance. We send them to one of the local veterans organizations that provide assistance to veterans also. So we have a lot of resources at our fingertips. And as I said, we have a computer where we go in and look. The military has a health program called TRICARE. We get some questions on TRICARE from retirees primarily, because it's primarily the retirees that use TRICARE. And so we try and work with them on TRICARE so that they know what their medical problems can be, what medical problems can be handled.
So, are you also a resource for, say, somebody needs home repairs? They need to be pointed to a veteran-friendly repair. Do you get those kind of calls?
Oh, yes, we do. And there are a number of different resources we can go to. There is a business in the area, which is a veteran-owned business that does home repair, handyman-type work. We do that. There are a couple of churches around that like to do construction projects for people. They will go in and fix somebody's roof that leaks and try and help them fix their house. You know, so we have those resources available to us. We work with St. Patrick's Center down in the city, trying to get housing for sometimes for the veterans. We work with the St. Vincent de Paul Society. The Catholic Church calls us every once in a while. So, you know, whatever the veteran's problem is, we'll help them solve it.
Is it a fair point to say that the veterans come to you because they can't find these resources at government kind of offices?
Yes, that's a fair statement, because a lot of what we do, you won't, the government doesn't provide that resource, that help. You know, guy's passing through town and runs out of fuel, needs to get someplace, we'll fill his gas tank up. The federal government's not going to do that. Federal government's not going to put him up in a motel room if they need a motel room. Federal government's not going to help them go get a refrigerator, you know? So those are the kind of, we catch the kind of things that the VA doesn't support.
And you mentioned eyeglasses and things like that. So many of the cases are financial hardships?
Some are financial hardships, and others are guys who feel that they lost their, the vision problems come from being in the service, so they feel the VA should take care of them, and they do.
So if, you know, you have these resources, you provide this service, you provide for the veterans, where do you get the resources to provide to them? How do you allocate, how do you get those funds received to you guys to be able to allocate that back out?
Well, we don't allocate funds. The Veterans Service Organizations, American Legion, the VFW, that's where funds come from.
Okay.
We will make contact with an organization. Like the American Legion service officer has, actually, which is me, has $1,000 at his disposal, no questions asked, to help a veteran.
Okay.
And the VFW post here in O'Fallon also does that. So does AMVETS down in St. Peter's. The veteran service organizations have funds available to do that. We put them in. We put the veteran in touch with one of the organizations to get help.
So you're the conduit to the to
the
resource.
We're the conduit, yes.
Okay.
We know where all the bodies are hidden.
Yeah. So, how does your office work with the veterans service officers to assist veterans?
Well, first of all, a veteran service officer is an individual who is accredited by the VA to handle VA cases directly. To represent the veteran with the VA in trying to get whatever pension they're trying to get. To be a service officer that's certified, you must work full-time for a veterans organization as their service officer. None of us do that full-time. We don't get paid. We just go have fun doing this stuff. So anyway, that we will put the veteran in contact with a service officer that we know specializes in the type of problem that the individual has. Different service officers are good at different things, and there are quite a few service officers around. There are three of them down in the city of St. Charles, in the St. Charles County Government Building up on the fifth floor. They actually work for the state of Missouri. There are service officers representing the American Legion, the VFW, the DAV, Paralyzed Veterans Association, and Vietnam Veterans, all over on Page at the old Record Center. They all have an office over there. There are veterans officers at the hospitals, the different VA hospitals, Cochrane and JB, and also out in Columbia, Missouri, there's several service officers out there. I might point out the fact that we're sort of on the borderline in this area. Let's call it the Westplex area, which is what KFAV calls it. The radio station calls this the Westplex area. The Westplex area is kind of on the borderline between using Cochrane Hospital downtown, down St. Louis, and the VA hospital in Columbia. So depending on where in the county or where in the area that a veteran lives, depends on where we send them to get their help, their medical help. Of course, we have here in O'Fallon, we have a veterans clinic down on, I forget what the name of the street is now, but it's down near Cracker Barrel on the other end of town from where we are now.
So. Jim, you mentioned too that obviously men and women, veterans, they do come in struggling with PTSD.
Yes.
And I guess refer them. Obviously, you know, you're limited in what you can do in those cases, right?
Yes, we are limited to what we can do. But in a lot of those cases, just the fact that we're available to talk to them will help them get started on getting help the help that they need. I've had several really close friends in this area who really suffered bad from PTSD, and several of us got together and worked on them individually and finally showed them where they were having problems and got them to go get their problems solved or taken care of anyway. And they came back and expressed their appreciation in us stepping up an intervention.
There's an old saying that not all wounds are visible.
That's exactly correct. Not all wounds are visible.
And, you know, it seems like with what you do, and certainly around here, we do run into people that are suffering from PTSD. And I'm not sure the public really understands to the degree that it goes on.
The public doesn't understand PTSD or how many people are really affected by it. I think if everybody would stop and think a minute about their relatives that were in World War II and think about how little those veterans talked about what went on when they were overseas fighting the war. They came back home and they didn't talk about it. And that's actually a type of PTSD. You don't want to talk about it. Don't want to think about it. Of course, I have to admit that in World War II, the veterans had more time to adjust. They didn't jump on an airplane and one day, you know, and were home one day in war, fighting a war one day over in Vietnam and back home in St. Louis the next day. World War II guys didn't do that. They had a long trip on a ship coming back home, so it gave them time to unwind, to talk to each other on a ship. And that helped them a lot. And nowadays, the guys don't have that. You know, it's take your bag, go down to the airport and get on it, and tomorrow you're over there fighting for your life. And then the day after that, you're back on an airplane and you're back home. And you've got all that, they have all that horror in their heads, in their minds. And that's what PTSD is. They come home and they have nightmares about what went on over there. And it's difficult for them.
One of the best therapies you always hear when a veteran starts talking about that is the best therapy is a veteran-to-veteran conversation.
Yes, that's exactly correct. And we do quite a bit of that in the office. We'll get a phone call from a guy or somebody will walk in the office and just want to talk. And that's fine because we like to talk. So we'll talk to them. And in some cases, that's the turning point for the veteran and his PTSD problem.
One of the other things that I guess the last couple years, the last maybe 3 years, you know, there's been a lot more hardships, it's been challenging with COVID and people losing jobs and different things like that. Have you seen the number of cases that you're involved in go up in the last couple years?
No, not really. I haven't noticed it myself. Okay. But I have to be honest with you, I was away from the office for about 4 or 5 months. And my wife passed away in March, so I was concerned with my family problems. But I'm getting back into the swing of it now. But I kept my fingers in the pot. I knew what was going on. I talked to the guys all the time, and even though I wasn't able to get there. So they didn't really notice it that much. I have to be honest with you, this area seems to be, well, I know that it is very veteran-friendly, and the veterans here seem to have a easier time settling down and getting back to normal than they do in other areas. It's just, we just live in a good area here, that's all.
It is a very veteran-friendly area. There's a lot of, I think the percentage of the veteran population happens to be higher here than any other county in Missouri. You hear a lot of discussions. I hear veterans say the first day they didn't have to get up and put the uniform on was very traumatic. You know, I hear a lot of them struggle with that.
And yes.
That's kind of the adjusting to retirement you're talking about, right?
It's the same as adjusting for retirement. If you work for a company for 30 years and all of a sudden one day you retire, the day after your retirement you get up and you start to get dressed and you say, oh, wait a minute, I don't have to go to work today. And that's also the day you realize that, or you will shortly realize that you need to keep a calendar. You know, and you never needed a calendar before because you knew what you were going to do every day. You went to work. And so it is with the military guys. They used to get up. They didn't have to decide what they were going to put on. They knew what they were going to put on, a uniform. They knew where they were going, what time they'd be home. So when they get out of the military, it's a, for some of them, it's a very hard adjustment.
Yeah, veterans are just human beings, you know, that, that had an experience that was unique, you know, that a time in their life that that changed them, or experiences that changed them. So, you know, the thing that you guys are doing over here to assist these veterans is an amazing thing. One of the things I wanted to ask you is, can you share with us maybe a few stories of some assistance that you guys have given, that maybe your top couple that you really impacted you, or things that you've seen that might have really been at the top of your mind?
Well, I mentioned it earlier. I mentioned the veteran who needed a refrigerator. And that was one of the things that was interesting about that was he found a refrigerator over in St. Louis County at a outlet store, and called me up and told me how much it was going to cost. So I got the check from the American Legion to go over there and pay for his refrigerator. And I walked in, and he says, oh, we got a problem, Jim. And I said, what's the problem? He says, well, they want $75 to deliver it out to Winsfield where I live. And I said, well, let's talk to the salesman and see what we can do. So we walked over to the salesman. I said, here's the check for this gentleman's refrigerator. We need to talk about delivery. The salesman looked at the check, and it was written on the American Legion. And he says, don't worry about it. We'll deliver it tomorrow morning free. You know, which was, they supported the veterans. So that was nice. I've met several guys over at Dirt Cheap, put gas in their vehicles because they were traveling through. Put several guys up in motels for a couple of days. They had a medical problem, had to stop by here and get it taken care of. In fact, one guy was at the motel, and I talked to him, went out there and set it up so I could pay his bill and everything, talked to him a little bit. He had his dog with him. He had been traveling with his dog. He had to get his car fixed, and he was going to stay in a motel there. I said, okay. And he says, is there anybody, any place close by that I can get something to eat? And I said, well, let me see what I can do. So I ordered a pizza for him, and then I went by the grocery store, and I picked up a bag of groceries, and I included several cans of dog food, and really surprised him when he saw the dog food. So, it, you know, things like that make you feel good.
Absolutely.
Well, the, you know, it's, it sounds like you do some amazing stuff. Can you think of any way the public can help you with what you're doing there?
Just make sure that the veterans you know that we are there to help out. If you know a veteran and he's having a, you think he's having a problem, tell him to call us. Call O'Fallon City Hall and ask for the veterans office. There'll be somebody there to talk to him.
Yeah, again, we talked about it a little bit. You know, you the ones that come back wounded, you know, physical wounds, it's pretty obvious, but those ones that come back that you can't see any wounds, you know, but they're there. They're just as real, aren't they?
Yes. The mental wounds are just as bad. Sometimes they're worse than the physical wounds. The physical wounds will heal up. You can do physical therapy and overcome some of the physical wounds and physical problems. But the mental problems are really hard to take care of. You've really got to work at it to take care of it.
Hmm. So, I guess one question I had, so you mentioned that you got Marines, you got Army, you got Air Force in there.
Yep.
I imagine the banter kicks up pretty good in there from time to time, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. I used to have an Air Force pilot, retired Air Force pilot, fighter pilot, working the same day as my Navy commander. And the Navy commander used to be in the subsurface, submarine service. And the two of them would get in there and do war stories and show how submarines dove and traveled in the water, similar to the way fighter planes dove and traveled in the air. And it was interesting to watch their hand gestures as they explained to each other what was going on.
And how did the Marines fit into that group?
Oh, the Marines are just Marines. That's all. I can't say anything else about the Marines. Once a Marine, always a Marine.
So there's a number of times that I guess you're not helping just the veteran, but the veteran's family. You see families traveling across the country that you're in need of assistance as well?
Not too many of that, no. I haven't seen any of that. Most of the time it's a single veteran, a veteran traveling by himself who's going to a family affair or someplace else, either the death of a relative or something like that, that come through.
So if the veteran's not from the area, he's coming through, how does he even know that you're there? Is there like a website or is it just word of mouth?
I think it's just word of mouth. And sometimes they'll stop someplace and then go to the phone book and see if they can find a listing for the VFW or the American Legion or AMVETS. And then they'll call them initially. And if that organization can't help, then they'll come back to us and say, you know, what can you do for this guy? And where can you find him something? So we work with all the organizations and try and help the veteran.
Now, do these veterans have to call or come by during business hours? Is there an after hours at all? Or?
Well, there's not really an official after hours, although the VFW and AMVETS both have club rooms that are open quite late, so they can go by there and they'll get name or a number. Most, I don't know, I think everybody in the area has got my phone number, so I get calls. Even when I'm out of town, I get calls. And when I'm out of town and I get a call, I still try and take care of the veteran. So
you mentioned the you got a number of volunteers, and they all kind of work together through this. And, again, tell us, what are the hours, again, of the veterans group over there?
The office is open from 9 in the morning till 4 in the afternoon. The volunteers that I have, they work from 1 o'clock in the morning until noontime, and then another volunteer comes in at noontime and takes over and stays till 4, so that they have about an hour. Each one of them works about 4 hours, and there's an hour overlap in there so they can talk about what's been going on that day or just talk about their service.
And so can you give us an idea how many calls would come into your office in a typical week? You have a feel for that?
We're probably getting, I don't know, I would have to say probably about 10 or 15 calls a week.
Okay.
And believe it or not, we get some from, first of all, as I said before, the office is, I don't know if I said it or not, but the office is a dual office. It's the City of O'Fallon's Veterans Assistance Office. And it is also an Air Force Retiree Assistance Office. As an Air Force Retiree Assistance Office, it's listed on the Air Force Retiree webpage. So our phone number is out there on the web for everybody to look at. And we have had calls from Air Force retirees as far away as Florida, out in Oklahoma, you know, all over the country we've gotten calls from because they weren't able to get to somebody else. You know, they look at a list of names and numbers, and they start calling until they get somebody to answer the phone. We answer the phone, and we take care of them, make recommendations for wherever they are.
So as you're helping the veterans, you know, every week, has there been any long-term relationships or bonds built with people that you've assisted or anything like that?
Gee, that's a hard question for me to answer because I know so many people. And I have worked with so many people. There's a lot of guys out there that I was in the guard with, in the service with, that I still talk to and everything. And so I guess you could say there are some long-term relationships that get built out of there. You run across the guy that you knew years ago. So, yeah, there are some.
Awesome. Well, what would you say would be maybe the couple most important things for the listeners from our podcast to hear from you about the office?
What they need to know is, I think is very important, is the office is there to help veterans. If you know of a veteran that you think needs some help, regardless of what kind of help it is, if you think you know a veteran who might need some help, give him our phone number. Tell him to call City Hall and ask for the Veterans Office, and we'll talk to him. If he wants a personal number, I'll give you two gentlemen my personal phone number. I won't put it out on a podcast, but I'll give you two gentlemen my personal phone number. And if you come across somebody that you think needs my assistance, you can have them call me.
I think a wise man once said, you know, the smartest people know where to point people, you know, and I think that's what I kind of hearing you say a little bit, is you may not be able to give all the answers, but you know where to send the person to get the answer.
That's correct. That's correct. We don't know all the answers. We don't try to make people think we know all the answers. We don't know all the answers, but we know where to start looking. So if they've got a question, we can start looking. Like I said, the city provides us with a computer and internet service, and so while we're talking on the phone with somebody, we're sitting there at the computer looking it up to find out what they need. Everybody knows about Google. We use Google sometimes. Other times, we just know where there are military sites that we can go to find out what kind of help is available.
What kind of training do your volunteers get, Jim, in there?
They get to sit there and answer the phone.
On the job training.
That's, to be very honest with you, that's basically what we do as OJT. I'm going to come in Friday with our new guy and work with him Friday. I'll probably work with him again next week, and then if he feels confident enough to take it on by himself, I'll let go of his hand and let him go. And that's basically what I've done with them all, is worked with them all to get them started. We do have a training session every once in a while where we'll bring them all in together on a Saturday morning, have donuts and coffee, and we will bring up myself or one of the other guys will bring up an area that they think we need to talk about, you know, and we'll talk about it, how to find out what's going on, talk about what kind of problems they've been having, that kind of thing.
Strengthen the resource and educate, collaborate, things like that.
Yes, that's correct.
Well, and I've heard you say it one time and already maybe a couple times, but and we see it certainly here, that sometimes one of the best things, you know, the office, your office could offer is a veteran voice on the other line. You know, it's probably worth a lot to a lot of them.
To a lot of them, that's it. In fact, as I tell my volunteers, you might sit there in the office for 4 or 5 times, not really have anything happen, and then one day you'll get a phone call, and you'll talk to the individual for a while, and when you hang up the phone, you got that feeling that you just helped out an individual tremendously. And that's makes it all worth it when you can sit there and say, I took care of that guy's problem. He's going to be okay now.
Well, and that's the true nature of, you know, it's therapeutic. You know, we lose far too many veterans a day, whether it's 22, whatever the number really is. But the fact is you guys are helping when you're taking that call. And you're just talking on the other line, you might have saved somebody's life in that conversation.
That's a possibility. I like to think that maybe there was one or two that I talked to that's what happened.
That's very rewarding when you start thinking about that you can make that difference, just even if it's one person, of course, you know.
Yes, it is.
So, Jim, anything else that you want to talk about or share with our listeners before we wrap up for the evening?
No, not that I can really think of. I might put on my Veterans Commission hat and say that the Veterans Commission here in the city of Wolf Allen works with the city on a lot of different veterans projects. All the veterans holidays have a ceremony that takes place. We have Memorial Day coming up, and there will be a very nice ceremony on that. And we work with the veterans organizations. Each veteran organization in the area takes one veterans holiday and supports it, runs it. So there's somebody that takes care of Armed Forces Day, Memorial Day, POWMIA, Pearl Harbor. Different organization takes care of each one.
Well, we're so glad that you stopped by the studio today to share with us what the Veterans Assistance Office can do in St. Charles County. Again, it's located in the City Hall of O'Fallon over here, and they're open from 9 to 4.
That's correct. 9 to 4, Monday through Friday in City Hall.
Well, thank you so much, Jim, for sharing that with us and sharing with our listeners what the office does for the veteran. And thank you so much, Jim, for co-hosting with me today. And we're going to go ahead and sign off. And we'll see you guys next time on the Dog Tag at the St. Charles County Veterans Museum. The Dog Tag is brought to you by the St. Charles County Veterans Museum. The museum is a 501c3 nonprofit business. Do you like our podcast? With your support, we'll continue to bring you great programming. If you'd like to donate, go to sccvetsmuseum.org and click on Donate. This podcast is sponsored by the Renee S. Real Estate Agency, located here in O'Fallon, Missouri. She is licensed in Missouri and Illinois and focuses on your personal and commercial insurance needs. Her office is located at 2764 Highway K, O'Fallon, Missouri, 63368. She can be reached at 636-379-9556 or by email at reneesry@allstate.com, reneesssary@allstate.com. If you are shopping for insurance and want an active agent that will educate and advise you on the coverage you need, reach out to her.